So you're moving this weekend.
I am.
So is the show canceled?
No.
It's canceled forever.
You have to go buy a new microphone.
Why? We did it before with my crappy microphone.
Yeah, but I had a crappy microphone.
Now you buy me a microphone.
I'll split it with you.
No. You'll buy all of it.
No.
Yes.
No.
Is this working?
Your mind tricks won't work on me, boy. Haggling.
I guess the show's canceled then. What if I really was that big a dick? What if I was like, you know what? You buy me a microphone. A nice one. Or else I'm not doing it anymore.
Well, then you would be the internet's most hated villain.
They'll get over it. All the other shows they loved got canceled. One more won't kill them. True. Where's your Weekend Confirmed? Well, I didn't even listen to Weekend. Weekend Confirmed was like the weird zombie of One Up Yours, and now that's gone. So I don't even know what's around anymore.
Us. We're here, Mike.
We're here. And you better buy me that microphone to keep it that way. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Bro Podcast for what I'm going to go ahead and call February 6th. Did I say February? Shit. March 6th.
Nope.
Well, no, I'm saying March 6th because it's very late on the 5th.
Oh, is that why you're saying it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was intentional. The month was my bad.
The month was just wrong.
The month was just me goofing. It's, I don't know, February seems like it barely happened.
It's a short month.
Yeah, but I mean, two more days wouldn't have made a big difference. That's not the point. So yeah, that's why. Because of the lacking of 2 days. Goddamn idiot, alright. Welcome to the show, it's 2014, there, I got, that's 2 for 3, bad!
Oh, it's gonna be one of those shows.
Thanks for tuning in. You know, unless you already turned it off. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother AJ.
Hello.
This is the Exploding Bro Podcast. We're gonna talk about games. So we got some things to talk about, like Aiming Henning.
Is it Aiming?
Amy Henning.
Yes.
I always want to say Henning, like Henning. I-N-G.
Yeah.
No, it's Henning. I think. H-E-N-N-I-G.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, I think. I was going to say Henning, like Bobby the Brain Heenan. No, that's not even Henning. Who's Henning?
I don't know.
There's a wrestler whose last name is Henning, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Kurt Henning. Mr. Perfect, that's it. All right. So, yeah, whatever her name is, she's not about... She's not at Uncharted Land anymore. Naughty Dog.
Uncharted Land.
They should rename themselves.
Where Uncharted's come from.
Yeah, they should rename themselves to Uncharted Land, the most Uncharted-y place on Earth. Alright, so yeah, she's gone. And what else happened? Batman.
And Mike, I have a surprise story just for you.
What is so good?
So we'll start with that, given your current mood. I think
we'll talk about South Park, too, in a bit. So yeah, go ahead.
Did you hear the new On Live news?
Yes. Kind of.
Oh, I was hoping you were, like, completely new to it.
Well, I mean, I didn't... I saw a headline and decided not to read it.
Oh, good. This is gonna go great.
Alright,
so,
let's hear
it. So, On Live, we've been pretty quiet for the last year. They've been...
Is it still a thing?
It is.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, what are they doing?
So, they announced two kind of new initiatives. The first one is what they call Cloud Lift. Now, I want you to tell me if you're on board with this. The idea of Cloud Lift is take your OnLive account, tie it to your Steam account. If a Cloud Lift game is on your Steam account, you've got cloud access to it. But, shares your save files.
But what? But it's on your Steam. Why don't you just install it?
Say, for example, you're on your laptop that's maybe not as powerful.
Okay, but... And this is something I've discovered very recently when I switched my PlayStation 4's, second screen thing to the Vita from, like, a Wi-Fi connection to just connecting to the PlayStation 4. Like, that system's like, if I'm in the same room as wherever this cloud processing is happening, it's pretty good. If it's happening through Wi-Fi, it's not worth it.
You've played on live.
Yeah, and it's...
It's fine.
It's not fine.
It's fine.
It's It's like, I guess I'm playing a game.
I think it's fine.
Okay, what else are they doing?
But, you're getting... So, you know, you're just getting your Steam sound good, in theory?
Whatever.
Oh, wait.
It's not bad.
I forgot something. You have to pay $15 a month for the privilege.
Wait, why?
I don't know.
What? Do you just get regular on live with it?
You pay $15 a month for access to the Cloud Lift service.
But what about regular on live?
Well, that's just you're either getting the pay pass for the selection of games at $10 a month, or you're buying games a la carte.
Well, then this is really, really dumb.
There you go.
I don't get it. I don't know. On Live is so irrelevant, it's not even funny.
I thought I was totally on board with it, but I found out you have to pay $15 a month. Why would I do that?
Why would anybody do that? Just install a goddamn game. God, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, the other thing they're doing is working with, like, more complex games to get parts of those games onto other devices. For example, maintaining their relevance with the world, they're doing a MMO companion app for Android tablets for Second Life. So yeah, that's On Live's push to relevance.
On Live and Second Life, they go hand in hand. I like that combo. They can get RuneScape in there too.
There you go. Oh, did you see? You see that Ashran's Call is finally having its development ended.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is apparently there have been story updates for that game every month since it launched.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? There's got to be a couple people who have, like, literally been there the whole time.
Oh, I'm sure. 15 years.
I'm about to say, because I played that game when it was new. I remember, it was that was my first MMO experience,
when that game
really
came out, it was still tied into the Microsoft gaming zone. That's how you got into it.
That game blew my mind.
It was great.
Oh, this is great. You know,
portal teleporting effects.
It's funny, because I did play a lot of it, but I didn't even, like, quest. Like, I just kind of walked around.
Not only there were quests yet. Like, I think that was added.
Wow.
I think it was just grinding.
I think you might be right. Yeah, but it's weird, because, like, I really would. To me, it really was just an exploration aspect to it.
It was pretty for its time.
That's how it used to... Before, there was a lot more hand-holding in MMOs with, like, starting with World of Warcraft, which was probably good in some ways, but in some ways it was kind of sad. Like, when I played Dark Age of Camelot, like, one of the very first things I did when I was still, like, level 5 was I just walked the entire continent.
Oh, yeah?
And saw what I could see. I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
No one would do that. No one gives a shit.
No.
All right. Well, what else?
You want to talk about Amy or Batman?
Let's talk about Amy.
Okay. That sucks.
Well, yeah, it's this weird thing. A lot of people are going to,
assume the worst?
Yeah, well, people are going to make assumptions, because, you know, what we're hearing is she was forced out. Which has a negative connotation.
Right, well, and by the Last of Us directors.
The Last of Us directors. But the Last of Us directors, they worked on Uncharted before, I assume.
One and two, but not three.
Which one would you call the weakest Uncharted of the first three?
The first one?
First one, maybe. Some people might say the third one.
Maybe.
Thematically, the third one had a few problems.
Yes.
I think it kind of sucks. It makes me a little anxious. I want to know why. I want to know what the drama was. Because, you know, Naughty Dog is one of those studios that we always put a happy face on.
Yeah, so, like, this kind of tarnishes
that
reputation.
It's like a Valve or a... I don't know. There aren't many of them left anymore. No, seriously. It's amazing how those things, those ideals keep... You know, you think everyone and Naughty Dog's happy to be there. No one... no. But, so it is a little weird, and you wonder exactly what happened. Do I think this is going to affect the quality of Uncharted 4? Not really.
The person who wrote all those stories is gone. Like, would you like a new Harry Potter that wasn't written by J.K. Rowling? Or?
But that's very different, because that's in the novel, that person builds everything in those books. Uncharted has been a big team effort, story-wise.
Fine, would you like a new Star Wars not made by George Lucas?
Yes! Well, I mean... I think if you have a big story you need to tell, it's very important to have that consistency. Like in BioWare, when the writers changed between Mass Effect 2 and 3, you kind of noticed it was kind of bad. But there's no, like, overarching plot here, especially for this kind of thing, this sort of serial adventure. having a different writer to it, as long as they can capture the tone of the characters, which is on the new writer, would be completely fine. Like, if it's like The Last of Us guys are coming in, like, we need Uncharted to be darker now, then yeah, it's gonna be terrible. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's what's gonna happen. Who knows? Like, that's the thing, like, what happened that they could have fought about?
Right.
What did they not agree on in the plot line? Maybe, was one side, like, maybe they were trying to stick to the formula too much, and the other side wanted to change it? Because it has been getting a little formula. It has been becoming a bit, you know, Drake looks for a lost city, finds it, and then escapes.
Destroys it, and
leaves. as it crumbles. So, yeah, like, it's one of the things where I wish I knew more about it. But ultimately, do I think... it's not like I'm, like, throwing up my hands in the air for Uncharted. Like, well, that's done.
Yeah. I wonder where she'll end up, and if it is even in video games. You can kind of see her making a transition to film or something.
I guess. It's always weird to... Even I know people don't really make that transition, do they?
They can. Look at a guy like Gary Whitta, for example. He was a game journalist more so, but he became a screenwriter.
That's very different.
I think she could be a screenwriter.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
she's a writer.
Right. What did she work on before?
Jack and Daxter.
Did she work on the Legacy of Kain games? Was that her or something?
Yes, okay. That's also her.
So who knows what's going to happen exactly? Like, you know, I've heard interesting things about how the process where apparently, like, maybe they come up with the set pieces first and you have to write a story around it, and maybe she's just kind of tired of that. So, like, you know, for, like, Uncharted 3, they're like, all right, there's going to be a burning chateau, a sinking ship, and a horseback chase scene. Now write us a story on that.
Which
I know a lot of people say that's terrible, but it makes sense in a way, because you can't just... You know, you have a team of all these hundreds of people, you can't just sit around and wait for the writer to figure it out, or then change your mind, like, you know what, we can't do that scene anymore. You have to scrap all that. And that's kind of the thing, too, it's, you know, Amy Hennig has been a big face in the Uncharted franchise, but again, so many people are involved in this. Right. And I'm sure she's not the only one even writing things. Maybe she is.
Did you see her Twitter account today?
Why, did she say things?
Yeah, she's...
What'd she say?
Her tone didn't sound like... It wasn't one of those, thanks for your support, everybody, I'm excited for the next thing, or... You know, like, this was not her choice.
It was more of a downer tone.
Yeah, a little bit like, thanks for all the support, I really need it, or something like that.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, then she was let go. And again, now you just kind of wonder, well, why? Mm-hmm. And there's a very good chance that because of professional respect and other things, we won't know.
It's called, papers you sign that say, you can sue me if I say anything.
Well, it's not about her. I'm talking even about the Uncharted guys. And people are going to ask them for a while, why'd you let her go?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they're not going to want to say anything.
I'm sure there'll be, like, some boilerplate statement, like, you know, we thank Amy Hennig for the work she's done for the Uncharted series and Naughty Dog, and wish her luck in her future endeavors.
It is weird how big a story is. No, you never hear before about, like...
A writer leaving a studio?
Yeah. No, it's like anyone's ever really...
Most studios don't have a writer on staff. Like, it's always like, oh, we got, you know, ex-novelist to come in and write this story.
It's like, you know, when they announced the new Batman game, they said, and the writer from Arkham City is back. You know? Nah. It's not... Like I said, I'm sure there are more people who can do this job. Maybe not as good as her. I don't know. But, again, I'm not going to just give up on Uncharted now.
Well, no. I wouldn't either.
But again, it's like, what could have happened?
I don't know.
All the goodwill she must have built up at that studio just evaporated.
Right. Must have pissed off the wrong people.
Well, maybe someday we'll know.
Yep.
So, Batman.
Batman is Arkham Knight.
This is the Batman we've been waiting for.
Yes, it is. This is Rocksteady, you know, the guys who did Asylum and City. Origins was done by Warner Brothers Montreal.
It's cool, because, like, I remember... Back when before City was going to come out, I thought one of the things we were going to get would be a drivable Batmobile, and now we have it.
Yes.
We kind of have the bigger city to go along with
this. This map is 5 times the size of Arkham City.
Now, do you worry if that maybe is too big? If it's really 5 times? Because the one nice thing about that Arkham City map that I loved a lot is that it was very dense.
Well, and
there was like something to do constantly.
It makes it hard to do a straight comparison, because remember Arkham City's map? It looked like a square, but it was really kind of a U shape, and you couldn't really get over that wall.
Yeah,
and that kind of made the map bigger than it even seemed.
Yeah.
So I mean, between the fact that you have a drivable Batmobile, they had fast travel. I think oh, it'll
they, wait,
be...
Wait, they're
in,
at...
In, well, there's fast travel in Origins.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure they'll manage it. I'm not worried about that.
I'm a little worried about the density kind of being gone.
From what I was reading, so the trailer starts with narration from the Scarecrow telling Gotham to leave the empty the city. I guess it does, it's not actually yet completely empty. Like, well, it's in process.
I think that when they say that, I think what they mean is that it's not completely empty. I think that the thugs are still around. I don't think there's going to be...
No, they specifically said...
Well, maybe, a couple, and it's, that thing, Experiment 2, where, they're getting beat, you need to save them.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It was something about, people still leaving, and the thugs are in the process of moving in.
I don't think we're going to see, a whole lot of pedestrians. There certainly won't be any traffic.
At any given time, there are between 3 and 4 times the number of thugs active in Gotham City...
Well, if the map is 5 times as big, I would imagine.
Larger riots in the game will have up to 50 characters wreaking havoc. That's pretty awesome.
Almost getting silly now.
That's pretty awesome. It's great because you kind of knew this was coming because they skipped a year, right, so to speak, because they had the prequel come out. The story takes place a year after Cities.
And I liked the emphasis on Scarecrow, who was kind of missing in a... City,
yeah, and they say no Joker,
yeah. Which I hope they kind of stick to that guy.
Yeah, I think that'd be smart.
I think it'd be kind of interesting. But we have a Penguin coming back. We have Two-Face,
plenty of Harley Quinn is also playable.
Yeah, apparently, the main villain is going to be a new person that they're creating.
Yeah,
which will be interesting to see if that kind of works, and if you have a new Batman villain for the canon. Because when was the last time a Batman villain was introduced that really resonated? Calendar Man and the Longest Halloween. You had, Harley Quinn in the cartoon. I think there's a villain named Hush in that Hush series. I don't remember. I didn't really read it. But yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and I also like that it is next gen only. There's no 360 PlayStation 3 version. We don't have to,
It's funny. That's one of the things people are most excited about. I hope
it's a next. Yeah.
I know. I hope this is since this is the first big AAA game to do it, we'll finally stop. When you look at Destiny is going to have the last gen, how much of the 360 version of Titanfall have we seen?
I think that's weird about Destiny, to be honest.
I know.
Especially because their whole point, because when you're trying to talk about how this is the next big thing in games, and you're then how come it works
on a 360, on a
9-year-old system, or however old? Yeah, it's how big a deal can it be?
So, there's kind of a confidence in this game that it is going to be big and showy.
We sold, 6 PlayStation 4s now? PlayStation 4s now? That's weird.
6 million, you mean?
Yeah, at least 6 million.
I think they need to sell more than 6.
And what? At least 3 million Xbox Ones, right? Or something like that. Maybe 4.
Yeah.
So my point is, there's enough of these out there that we can make profits on
just
games
about the end of the year.
Yeah. So I was reading some tweets from some industry people, and they're like, "We can't get any information about the 360 version of Titanfall." You wonder how that looks.
I know. I'm super curious
because there are a lot of people who maybe want to upgrade, and if they can just play Titanfall on 360, well, then why bother?
Right.
It's weird. So yeah, Batman looks great. I mean, there's a lot of people who are down this series because of Origins. They could have just taken my approach and not played it. That's what's weird to me. It's weird to me how many people are bitter about Origins when they knew it wasn't Rocksteady.
You didn't have to.
There were reviews that said, it's not as good. And then they all bought it and played it and then bitched.
Well, it was funny because, it was...
It's like you had to play it.
It was competent. It was a little buggy.
Mm-hmm. But it was so yeah, this is a prequel, but it was so obviously filler. I feel like it's mad to be upset about
it. It's the same map.
Right, how are you gonna be mad?
Yeah, it's just funny. It's how the perception changes because you find out new Batman game. It's the same city and it's a different team, but it's an all new story. Now, and you're like, eh.
But
then it's like the old guys are back, bigger city. You're like, holy shit.
Do you think this will be the last of the Arkham games?
They say so.
I mean, it kind of should be. I mean, what else are you going to do?
What would be cool is if they wrap this up and take another DC comic property and give it, the Rocksteady treatment.
Not even necessarily DC. It would be kind of cool if they got one of the Marvel guys. Maybe neat if they had a Spider-Man.
Well,
or imagine if,
Isn't Rocksteady owned by Warner Brothers Interactive, a subsidiary of the guys who own DC Comics?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, they're if anything, they're locked into DC.
But still, there are. I guess there's just more interesting Marvel characters I can think of immediately. Because, I mean, what else would DC... Green Lantern's not really hot enough to make a big budget game. The only one you could justify that budget for right now would be Superman. And
you could do a Wonder Woman game.
You couldn't. Really?
Maybe.
You think they would spend the money they spent on an arc, on even the first Arkham Asylum, on a Wonder Woman game?
So you say Superman, maybe. Remember, I mean, we never had a really Justice great League. Batman game until these guys. Really haven't had a great Superman game.
That's not the point,
game.
AJ. The
no, but I'm saying, maybe these are guys could do Superman. A good Superman game. We've never really had one. Just like we never really had a good Batman game. We had Batman
games.
But I
mean, when I think about these guys, these guys are like a Hulk game or an Iron Man game.
Oh, I agree.
Or a Spider-Man game.
Give me that.
Or even a Wolverine game.
But it's not going to happen.
No, I guess not. But it should.
Yeah.
Or even just maybe, want to be able to do something like their own. Something kind of similar-ish. But it is weird, because in a few years, they are going to have to make another Batman game of some kind, and what are we going to do? How much are they going to reinvent the series?
Yeah.
Not even series, yeah. It is kind of a weird thing, where you have this kind of big, unexpected success, and it's good, but there's going to be a hole left when it's all gone. What's Warner Brothers, the film studios right now, they're kind of panicking over there, because they don't have Harry Potter anymore. And they're not going to have, Lord of the Rings soon, and, a bunch of other properties to fall back on anymore.
No, they're getting here. There's a new Harry Potter movie coming.
Kind of. Is that... Maybe? All right. You want to talk about South Park?
Yeah.
So you played a little bit.
Like 45 minutes.
Okay, I reviewed it.
You beat it.
I reviewed it. I beat it. I played a lot of it. It took about 12 hours to get through. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought there's never been a more pure transition from the source material to video game.
It feels like playing the source material.
Right.
It's amazing how it just looks like the show.
That first time you get to kind of move around, it's just oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Right. And it's very charming, because it's weird, because it is filthy and offensive, but there is that sort of these kids are playing make-believe. It's kind of almost cute in a way.
Right, right.
Right. And it's just... it has that shock humor, which, South Park does, and either you like it or don't, but,
Yeah, for example, I was just going to random doors and houses, and when I opened one of them, there was just a naked woman on the other side who freaked out and slammed the door in my face. I was like, ah,
right, okay. It just reminds you what you're playing.
Yeah, right?
But the little, digs at, other game series are always kind of funny.
I haven't gotten much at yet. I mean, there's the Chin Pokemon stuff.
But. Yeah, but like when you're doing your tutorial on how to fight, and they're like, "All right, we're doing this olden time, so you have to take your turn,"
Oh yeah.
Justifying the turn-based battle, and it's cool. It has a turn-based battle system, and it's kind of a neat one. It's a lot like the one in the first two Penny Arcade games. I didn't play the last two. I don't know if it was different.
Yeah, they kind of kept that going. It's kind of like Mario and Luigi.
Well, it's like all the Marios, in that there's that rhythm to the fighting where you push the button again to defend or do more damage.
But it
reminds me of Penny Arcade, because after every fight, your HP and your
PP.
Your PP, yeah.
Which is fan.
Yeah. Again, Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah, it restores. So it's cool, because you're encouraged to use your special abilities that cost PP, because why not? Mm-hmm. And you're also encouraged to use items, because you can use an item before you attack.
Yeah,
and it doesn't
lose
cost
the turn.
Yeah. And all the abilities, they kind of have their cool own little mini game going on with them.
So what class did you play as?
I did Thief. Which is cool, because normally Thief, it's they just steal items, but there's a lot more to the Thief in this one. They're good at doing, on the status effects, especially, bleed. And stat effects are, pretty good in this game, because usually come with attacks, and, bleed. If you stack it up five times, it, can kill them turns, or you can daze them so they don't attack for a turn. What class did you pick?
The Jew.
The Jew?
I had to. I don't know how to peg it, though, an RPG archetype.
Well, I hear cleric people say.
No, I'm not doing any real healing or anything that I can see.
Really?
I mean, I have my shepherd's staff, and I have my bow and arrow, and then the two abilities that I unlocked, the Sling of David, where you put a rock in a sock and twirl it around and throw it, and then jujitsu, where I have to mash the A button to charge up a meter, and I just do some kind of ninja attack on my opponent and stun them. and like Hebrew letters come up on the screen.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like everyone has a melee and a ranged attack, and some are better on than others, and like the enemies can like defend against a certain type.
They'll repost or they'll
reflect.
Reflect, yeah.
Yeah. So like there's a lot going on.
There's armor, there's shields to break.
Like, there's a lot going on. It's not just system. Like mashing A a bunch of times to win.
Yeah.
You know?
You gotta do stuff.
Yeah, there is a bit to it, and the battles don't really get old because of it. And it's not a grindy RPG at all. Like, I liked Bravely, and sometimes I liked that. Like, I liked how Bravely Default was very grind-friendly, and some people liked the Etrian Odyssey mm-hmm. and, like, stuff like that. This is not that.
Right.
Like, you never have to go to, like, a dungeon specifically just, like, I need to kill some low-level people and get... No. The fact that... The one weird thing to me is the level cap is really low.
15, you
like,
said,
yeah,
right?
I hit the level cap, like... When I still had a few hours left in the game, I was just like, "Oh, I guess I'm not leveling up anymore."
So you basically unlock all your skills, right?
No, you actually unlock skills through story beats.
Okay,
And then you can kind of upgrade your skills by putting points in them, but like you can't get all the upgrades for the skills. Mm-hmm. You just like stop.
That's weird.
You
can.
But like there still is progression. Like one of the cool things is a big deal is you have to make friends with everybody. Like you just talk to them. Sometimes you have to do a little quest for them. Yeah. And they'll become your Facebook friend, which is funny. Also, and like when you get Facebook friends, you kind of unlock perks, almost like Fallout style, but not quite.
Yeah, they're
quite.
Like passive abilities.
Yeah.
Like, for the one, like, because I knew the jujitsu would leave an opponent stunned, so I took the perk that I do more damage to a stunned opponent.
Exactly, yeah, and all that kind of good stuff. It's kind of, and like, you always have one partner, and it's always one of the kids, and it's one of those, like, you have to worry, there's a lot of customization with your armor and weapons, and yeah, you can put, like, things on them. The other characters just comes there, which
okay,
is nice.
That's what I figured.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's just less to mess with.
Right. And, like, at first you just have Butters. It was very helpful, actually. I used Butters for quite a while. But, you get it.
What's funny about the game to me is the visual of it, like, you know, the kids are just, like, they're playing with just whatever they found at home. Like,
yeah.
They built stuff out of cardboard, and they're using, like, garden rakes and things. But what's, it's a funny contradiction in the game, I guess, is the music and sound effects are like, very...
Yeah.
High grandiose. Fantasy.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny how, like, they're very... It's like, certain things look very, like, you know, like, obviously fake, and then other things, like, the production values are, like, really high, and, like, some of the special moves, too, like, it's like you're almost seeing it through the lens of pretend
imagination,
time.
Yes.
Yeah, and it, like, all kind of looks a lot bigger.
It's brilliantly done.
And the tone of the
game is just perfect.
Thing, there's a lot of fun, like, environmental puzzles with finding a lot of the collectibles, like the friends and the gym Pokemon.
Right.
And kind of treasure and stuff like that, which largely revolves around, like, at first you have the one you can shoot things and... in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also do, like, eventually you kind of get all these, like, farting powers.
Right.
And there's other things I won't spoil, but yeah, there's, like, a lot of stuff to it. Oh, I was, like, really, you know, I knew it was probably gonna be good, but I thought it was really good. I was a little surprised that more people weren't quite, like, a lot of people, like, it's averaging around an 84.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be high, like, I thought it was, like, a special kind of good, to be honest. Really, like, the only person who was really super high with me, ironically, not the only one, but like one of them was Pete.
Yeah,
which is funny because I saw he was reviewing, but we didn't talk about the game at all. But yeah, we both kind of seemed to have the same opinion on it.
Yep.
So I think it's one of the things where if you are a fan of the show, you have to play it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Even if you're not, you just like, you know, if you're like,
as long
like,
as you won't be offended by it.
Yeah. If you're like you're not a huge South Park
guy,
but
I appreciate it.
You appreciate it, and you like, you know, you like these kind of RPG sort of things, so you're gonna appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's one of the better... You know, it's tough when we're talking about Batman. It's kind of up there in terms of licensed games, you know?
Yes.
Very well done. Plus, the fan service is incredible. Like, almost every, like, major thing.
Yeah, I was very excited to become Facebook friends with Al Gore.
Yeah,
help him trap Man Bear Pig.
Of course. All right. Do you play anything else?
Well, the NDA is lifted off Elder Scrolls Online, so this
oh,
is the first
really?
Time we can talk about it.
I tried... Yeah, I played it a bit... And
what level did you get to?
No, you know.
Like 5 or 6?
I, like, got out of that starting area and was in, like, some place near Daggerfall or something, and I just kind of got, kind of wandered around, and then I started getting very MMO-y quests, and then I just stopped. And then this weekend, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this again. I kind of got halfway through the starting area. I'm like, I can't do it.
You say starting area. You mean the Soul Cairn?
Yeah.
You're only there for 10 minutes.
No, you're not. It's longer than that, and that's still enough for me to get not too into it. It takes an hour to get through it. You're not there.
The Soul Cairn?
Yeah, until...
Until you, like, find the prophet.
Until Dumbledore zaps you out of there, yeah.
That doesn't take an hour.
All right, maybe 30 minutes. My point is, it's boring.
I guess I just... I know what I'm doing in it, so I just walk right through it.
Okay, fine. But, I'm okay, I did that, and then I was in a starting area somewhere, and I was getting the quest to do, and I was getting bored.
Yeah, I'll agree. The Soul Cairn's pretty shit. There are not one, but two times in the Soul Cairn where the character you're following, or is following you, is like, I'm gonna stand here, activate the beacons! And there's, like, a beacon 10 feet right over there, and a beacon 10 feet over there, and nothing happens. You just walk to them and activate them.
Yes.
Now, having said that, I really like the game a lot.
I don't get it.
It's weird. When I first started playing it, I was like, shit, I don't think I like this. But then once I finally did get out of the starting area and got through all the kind of introductory quests, and the game started opening up more...
Don't you think that maybe you're on a bell curve, though? And maybe you're going to come back down?
I don't know. That's I can't tell.
Because here's my thing. The things I like about Elder Scrolls are a little diminished in this, while the things I don't like about it are elevated. Things I don't like about Elder Scrolls, combat. And that's, like, the big thing here, really. Because it's all, you know, because the other thing you could do is explore. Well, now you're kind of zoned in by your level. Mm-hmm. And now things don't look quite as pretty because it's an MMO, so it doesn't even look as good as Skyrim.
No,
and
I think the environments look good. The character models don't look as good.
The environments don't look that good. Things look a little bit more cookie cutter because they had a lot more stuff to fill.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, to me, Skyrim is a spectacle. That's what I like about it. It's like seeing Avatar. Maybe people won't like that comparison, but that's what it is to me. I'm not there for the story or, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's impressive. As a technical feat, I enjoy it, and there is some pleasure out of it. But, you know, when I'm kind of walking around and I'm whacking at a skeleton and defending while five other guys are doing the same thing around me and, like, enemies. Well, and enemies do that MMO thing where they appear out of nowhere because, there's not enough enemies here. And, you know... It's just weird to me.
Well,
I just don't get
again,
it.
Again, a lot of that, I think, has to do, again, with the fact that the Soul Cairn, that absolute starting area, is crap.
But that first impressions...
I know. It's true. There was actually a whole article about this, like how if you're a free-to-play game, you have to make a really good first impression because...
Yeah.
That's, you know, people aren't going to stick around, but the supposition by a lot of people is since you're paying for it, They can afford a bit more of a slow burn.
And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it's like we have to be beholden to tradition for no reason. It's like, well, every Elder Scroll game, you start out as a prisoner, so we gotta do that. Mm-hmm. Why?
But here's what I'll say when you talk about combat. Once you get a few levels under your belt and you start unlocking more than one ability, then it becomes interesting. It's weird because, like, as an Elder Scrolls game, it's okay, but as an MMO, it's doing a lot of things that MMOs don't do. Like, you have a hotbar, but the fact that there are no cooldowns really changes up the way that combat system works. Because as long as you've got the mana, you could spam all the fireballs and whatever you want.
But, like, there's not a lot of instancing, right?
Yeah, that's what's
weird. So there is, like, instances of people just kind of, like, in a line waiting to complete a quest.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, there are, like, the traditional... Go into the goblin camp and find the goblin king and kill him and bring back his crown, and there's like three people waiting for him to spawn. I thought we stopped doing that in 2005. Then, like, there's another quest, too, where the girl's brother got trapped in this cave, and the quest that happens in the cave is kind of cool, but there's like seven other people running around. They're all in different stages of it, and you're like, why isn't this an instance? Why am I with these people interacting with invisible objects because they haven't spawned for me yet? And it's like... That's weird. But, the thing that I really like about the game is just the character customization. The fact that your class determines your skill trees, your race determines some skills, and your primary weapon, of which you can use any one, determines another skill tree. So you can have a wizard with a bow and arrow, or a warrior with a fireball staff.
But, can you reset skill points? Like, if you start... devoting skills to, say, the bow and arrow, you kind of feel like, I better stick with this bow and arrow.
I believe there is respecking. Okay. You can't change your class, but you can change your weapon.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I guess maybe... I feel like the one thing that would get me to want to sit down and try it more is to try the console version right now.
Yeah, which doesn't come out till the summer. I feel like that actually kind of screws things up, having them staggered like that. The other thing's really lame, because I asked them this on the email support. if you, let's say, because they don't share servers. It's like three separate servers for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. But each game itself is just one server per platform, which is kind of nice. Mm. But let's say for whatever reason I wanted to have the PC and the Xbox One versions. My $15 a month doesn't cover both of them. I'd have to pay $30 a month to play on multiple platforms. I think they could have at least given you that.
That's weird, because I don't think that's not the case with Final Fantasy, is it?
Final Fantasy is one subscription, one server architecture for everything.
Yeah, okay. I guess, and kind of going back, that's kind of my big thing. Is like, is there anything here that makes me want to play as a set of Final Fantasy 14? Yeah. Not really. Especially not with that console
version. I'm going to get it. I mean, I'm enough of an Elder Scrolls fan that I enjoy it. That's fine. You don't have to.
I know, but it comes
from honestly, weird. You know what the worst thing about the game is?
What?
The music's not that great.
No, then that's what I kind of go back to.
I think it's multiple people doing this, but they ain't Jeremy Soule.
And that's kind of thing where it's like, there is that little bit. There's just like that, and it's in the music, it's in the way things look, where it's just like, this is a little cheaper than Skyrim, you know? And which was always going to be the problem, and it's why people said, don't even bother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be interesting to see how it does.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's going to be a disaster. I think it might be the next KOTOR.
Yeah.
For sure.
We'll see if it's free to play by the end of the year.
Do you play anything else?
I played The Room. You heard of this game?
No.
It's on the iPad. It's like, it's kind of like a missed Seventh Guest puzzle game sort of thing, where you're like, the whole thing is there's instead of like mystery, you're going from room to room, there's just one box that you're trying to get into. And so there's all these different puzzles as you get layers and layers deeper into this box, and there's this whole weird meta story where I think it's your uncle has discovered the fifth element. So you have fire, earth, wind, water, and null. And I guess there's some null inside this box. But this came out a while ago. A sequel just came out as well. And I got both of them when they were like 99 cents or something. So I figured I was on a train to New York this past weekend. So I was playing The Room. And it's cool. It looks really, really good. Like, they have good lighting, and the 3D models have good texture work and everything like that on them. So it's just got this neat tactical thing. Because, you know, you think of, like, playing Myst or Seventh Guest. But in this game, you know, to turn a key, you're actually, like, rotating it, and you're pulling and sliding on things. So
I remember when Metroid Prime 3... was a thing on the Wii. That was like the
thing. You're gonna like turn the locks and everything. I mean, this kind of has that, I guess.
We were talking about this earlier, where because you're packing and you found your Metroid Prime Hunters first hunt, which was like that thing they gave everybody. You just bought a DS1. It was like, oh yeah, and I was like, I can't believe that was the last time they made a portable Metroid game.
Yeah, that really is it.
And it's like, it's kind of annoying because as obsessed as Nintendo is of making like these retro/2D games right now, with Donkey Kong Country and Yoshi's Island and Mario and even Zelda. Where the hell's the new like 2D Metroid game?
Give me that. You know, Fusion did pretty well for them. People like Fusion.
And even Zero Mission?
Yeah, cool. Which is kind of a remake, but still.
Yeah, but it was still good. I mean, really good. That was Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
It's like, and I mean, Metroid Prime Hunters wasn't very good.
Well, it makes you wonder what Metroid Dread was going to be, and they could deny it all they want, but that was a game at some point.
Yeah, and it was probably sweet. And well, I believe that was going to be like a 2.5D Metroid game. It would have been cool. Although, to be honest, that was kind of... I'm still like the weird defender of Metroid Other M. No, Metroid Other M was cool. Metroid Other M had a lot of upside.
It was a 3D action game you played with a Wii remote held like a Nintendo control. No, it didn't.
It worked.
No, it didn't.
It worked great.
No, it didn't.
Because it had auto aim to offset some of that issue.
Yeah, with a Game Boy Advance D-pad.
It worked.
No, thank
you. It worked. And it was cool because when you pointed the remote at the thing, it went to first person. It was neat. And a lot of times it was just 2D, and it was, I don't know, I liked Other M a lot. I thought Other M was cool. Apparently.
Did you play anything else?
Not really.
All right.
Anything else you wanted to talk about?
Nope.
You see, Kojima said that, like, he's worried that... I feel like every week there's something dumb Kojima says.
Yeah, he's on a roll.
He's worried that Phantom Pain is going to be too big, that no one will ever
I'm sure.
Know about, like, MMOs? Does he know about, like...
Why do people talk? Some people just need to shut up.
I don't know. It's like, people keep pressing him about the Phantom, about the Ground Zeroes thing, and he's like, you know, what I ideally want to split them up. No, I didn't really plan on it, but I had to because it's just going to take too long to make Phantom Pain, and it wouldn't be ready for the launch. Like, who cares? You're like, you specifically said, like, it would have been better for the game if they weren't split up, but you had. I think he. And he even said it before. He feels this weird responsibility as kind of one of the last few Japanese developers in really big AAA game development to have something out on these next-gen systems to show off that Japan's still, you know, going strong. Which, you know, maybe he feels that responsibility. And who else is going to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, there are still a lot of very good developers in Japan, but not so much big AAA.
Like next-gen development, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of... Kind of like a Bayonetta. It's like a double A kind of sort.
Ooh, you just pissed off some people.
Oh, do people think Bayonetta is triple A? No, they don't. I said,
oh, let's everyone that's at Tolkoto. That's TOLKOTO.
It's funny though because I did get someone mad. I forget someone was mad at me because the last Nintendo Direct when they closed with Bayonetta 2, and I said, you know, I was like, you know, if Bayonetta 2 was like a PlayStation 4 game, it wouldn't even be like one of their top 15 most important releases of the year. Somebody's like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, man. I'm like, yeah, I kind of know. I played Bayonetta 1, it was fun.
I thought it was kind of dumb.
Well, Bayonetta is kind of the epitome of a lot of things you do not like.
It's true.
Video games. You're not much for that tone. I don't know what you call it. It's not you. All right. I guess that's it then. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and go to our Google Plus community. And be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review.
And guess what?
What?
Next week's show, we get to talk about Titanfall.
True. We already talked about Titanfall quite a bit.
We can talk about it more.
All right.
We're just going to change the podcast to the Titanfall podcast.
No, we're not.
Yes.
No. All right. God, calm down. Yeah.
All
right.
If you don't buy a microphone, that's all we do.
I just won't do it. You can do a one-man Titanfall podcast until you get bored with it in a month, like you always will. Despite all this. How's Bravely Default going, you ass?
I'm grinding.
Yeah, I bet you're grinding. Grinding in chapter 1, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, alright, bye.